Are you ready? Are you ready? wonderful.
Sure, I ain't got it. Last night, we, the choir and Brother Shorty, went to the greater house of prayer for service, and I did something last night I've never done in my whole life. Now, I've said a lot of things about Brother Shorty, good and bad, but I have never introduced him to a service before. And when they asked me to introduce my husband, I kind of stuttered and I thought, do they really want me to tell what I know? But I was very kind. I said very little and introduced him. But I do love the Lord tonight, and I'd like to say how much I appreciate the choir. I appreciate them backing me and going with me to all these places, because I can't do it. I ain't got it. They got it. They're the ones that do the job, and I appreciate it. I want you to worship with us tonight. I'm going to slow things way, way down. And we're going to sing a song that tells about what it used to be. I remember when I was just a little girl that I would listen to my grandmother, and she would tell me, Jesus is coming soon. And she would tell me the things that I should do, how that I had to have holiness in my life as well as in my heart. But today you look around and it's not that way anymore. You know, you never meet a sinner. Everybody you see, you can't hardly tell them by looking at them whether they're Christians or not. I want to be different. The Bible said that we're a peculiar people. And I want to be known by what the book says and for the love of the truth that's in my heart. If it takes it, let's go all the way back to the very beginning, to the very basics that we started off with, so that we can make heaven at any cost. Worship with us tonight.
turns the page and a new day has dawned, and we've rearranged what's right and what's wrong. Somehow we've drifted so far from the truth that we can't get back home. And where are the morals that govern our lives? Where are the virtues that once gave us life? Someday we all will awaken, look back to find what we lost. And we need to get back to the basics of life, to a heart that is pure and a love that is life, a faith that is firmly grounded in Christ, hope
the newest rage is
to figure it out, and just meditating can overcome it out. After all, man is a God, and God is no longer alive.
Reader's Digest today, and I came across this quote from Margaret Thatcher, and it said, I guess she was answering questions. Someone was, reporters or something like that, was questioning her, and the quote was, "Of course it's the same old story. The truth is always the same old story. Always the same old story." I've been hearing this message for 27 and a half years. It hasn't changed. Still built on the solid foundation, which is Christ Jesus, the way it was intended to be. Now, there have been some that have come to this place, and they've seen the waters part. They've seen the walls of Jericho come down, and they said, "That's too exciting for me. That's something I can't handle," and they walked away. There's been some that's come to this place, and they've seen the badger skin temple sitting out in the wilderness. They said, "It's too boring. It's too dull. It's not for me."
Mighty God.
But if they would ever take a trip inside the veil that was rent because of Calvary, they would realize that this old truth and that this old story has not changed. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It was built on Jesus Christ and nothing less. And this world cannot add to it. This world cannot take away from it. What it is, it will always be. I'm so happy to be a part of it. I am so happy to be a part of it. Hallelujah.
Yes, my God.
We turn the page and a new day has dawned. And we've rearranged what's right and what's wrong. Somehow we drifted so far from the truth that we can't get back home. Someday we all will look back and just find what we've lost. We need to get back to the basics of life, to a heart that is yours and a love that is blind, to a faith.
Tonight,
hope that is yours for all time.
God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise Him together. Let's praise Him together. Praise Him together. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. You may be seated. Red escort wagon has the lights on. So if you have a red Ford escort wagon, I give you permission to go outside and turn your lights off. Hallelujah. All right. Must be some neighbors. We got it. Brother Ragsdale, are you ready to preach to us a little bit tonight? Come on up here. Hallelujah. We're going to let Kristen preach a little bit first. Come here. She's a microphone hog. She just, when we give it to her, boy, she just really comes unwound. We thank the Lord. We don't thank the Lord for Sister Kristen as much as Brother Ragsdale does. But we're glad she's here, and I want her to give a testimony.
Now I don't want to say anything. Oh, it is so good to be, my husband said early this morning, but it's so good to be in a church where I can feel the presence of God so strongly when you just walk through those doors. I can't thank y'all enough for that. Y'all have ministered to me and my husband, and I don't want to sound negative, but a lot of churches we go to, sometimes maybe you feel drained or whatever, but when I came in these doors and when I sat through the service this morning and when I was sitting there a few minutes ago, I just felt such a ministering spirit from the Lord, and I know that a lot of that is because of the prayers that have been lifted up. And I can't say enough, and I can't thank y'all and encourage you enough to keep that up. Y'all have a wonderful pastor and a pastor's wife, and he's led y'all, and he's teaching you so many important things. And I'm telling you, I wish I would have grown up in a church like that, because I love to pray, but it's just so exciting to be in a church where everybody in here is excited about the Lord and excited about talking to the Lord and excited about the relationship with God. So keep that up. It's wonderful, and I'm so thankful for that. Thank you for it.
That's exactly what I wanted her to say. Brother John Ragsdale, preach, sing, pray, minister, whatever the Lord wants you to do.
Thank you, brother. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Boy, didn't I get me a good one? Sounds like I'm talking about a car or something, doesn't it? When I first got married, people come up to me and say, "Boy, you got you a good one." Sounds just like you're talking about a car or something. But I am thankful for my beautiful wife. And I'm thankful for a church that makes her feel welcome. And some of you women, especially you ministers' wives, can understand this. So many places we go, it's like the women are just kind of pushed off. And it's the man. But I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for her, I don't know, we were praying today in the hotel room, and I was praying with her and praying for her, and she was ministering to me, and I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, I don't know where I'd be without her. Scared to death, probably. That's where I'd be." Amen. Well, Lord Jesus, it got quiet up here, didn't it? Sister, you better get on that keyboard quick. Amen. Didn't this choir do a good job tonight? Very good. I feel the presence of the Lord here. I want them to help me sing this chorus, "I Feel Jesus." And I want you to stand, join in with us and sing it.
I feel Jesus. I feel Jesus.
Do you feel Him here tonight?
Oh, I feel Jesus.
I feel You, Jesus.
In this place.
Oh, in this place.
Yes, my soul.
Just burn within me.
I feel.
never take it for granted that you can walk in here and feel Him. Come on, let's sing it.
I feel Jesus. Feel you, Jesus.
Come on, sing it to Him.
Oh, I feel Jesus.
Yes, I really feel you, Jesus. Do something in this place right now. Come on, everybody, with your hands lifted, your eyes closed. Come on, talk to the Lord.
I feel Jesus.
Pray softly right now. Hallelujah. Come on, just pray for them. Pray earnestly but softly right now. Some of you pray in the Spirit. Come on. Come on, just pray in the Holy Ghost right now. God's got a plan for this service. Yeah, come on, brother. Break right now. Come on, break. Let those tears flow. Come on, let those tears flow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's ringing somebody out right now. He's ringing out some bitterness right now. Hallelujah. He's ringing out some envy, some strife that's been in your heart for a long time. Come on, let it flow. Let God do it. It doesn't feel good, but He's doing it right now. If you need help right now, step out in the aisle. Come on, if you feel like you need to break, but you can't do it by yourself, step out in the aisle right now. Come on. Step right out in the aisle. Come on. I got something to preach. We'll do that after a while, though. Come on. Step right out in the aisle right now. Hallelujah. Ministry, do what you feel like doing. If you feel like going to somebody, do it. Come on, there's somebody else.
Amen.
How many of you, maybe I sang this song. I don't know. I'm going to sing them anyway. It don't matter. Isn't that right? How many of you feel like that you know you can't sing a bit? Lift your hand. How many know? Just lift your hand. You can't sing a bit. How many know you can at least carry a tune in a bucket, maybe? How many know somebody in here right now that just lied just then? Lift your hand. You better watch that. Amen. How many are glad that you're a part of the redeemed tonight? You ever wonder what his favorite song was? The song of the redeemed. No matter if you don't have your tone deaf, it doesn't matter. When you begin to sing, if you're part of the redeemed, the Lord loves to hear you sing. Amen. His favorite song of all, worship with me as I sing. Praise God. Amen, amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Say it louder than that. Now he loves to hear the wind sing as it whistles through the pines on mountain peaks. Oh, and he loves to hear the raindrops as they splash to the ground in a magic melody. And he smiles his sweet approval as the waves crash to the rocks in harmony. All of creation joins in unity to sing to him majestic symphonies. But his favorite song of all is the song of the redeemed, when lost sinners now made clean. Oh, lift their voices loud and strong. Oh, when those purchased by his blood, lift to him a song of love. You see, there's nothing more he'd rather hear, not so pleasing to his ear, as his favorite song of all. Listen, I like this verse. Oh, and he loves to hear the angels as they sing, holy, holy is the Lamb. Oh, and all of heaven's choirs in harmony lift up praises to the great I am. I like this. Oh, but he lifts his hands with silence when the weak is saved by grace begins to sing. Listen to this. Oh, and a million angels listen as a newborn soul sings, I've been redeemed. Yeah, and his favorite song of all is a song, it's the song of the redeemed. Oh, when lost sinners now made clean. Oh, lift their voices loud and strong. Aren't you glad you're a part of the redeemed? When those purchased by his blood, yeah, and lift to him your song of love. There is nothing more he'd rather hear, not so pleasing to his ear, as his favorite song of all. Listen to this. Oh, it's not just melodies and harmonies that capture his attention. It's not just catchy lines and phrases that causes him to stop and listen. But when any heart set free, washed and bought by Calvary, begins to sing. Oh, you see, that's his favorite song of all, is the song of the redeemed. Oh, if you're part of the redeemed, I want you to stand to your feet when lost sinners now make clean. Oh, lift their voices loud and strong. Woo! Hey, there with those purchased by his blood. Lift to him a song of love. Yeah, there's nothing more he'd rather hear, not so pleasing to his ear, as his favorite song of all. Aren't you glad you're a part of the redeemed here tonight?
If you're part of the deed, I want you to sing hallelujahs to Him right now. Hallelujah. 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 Let's worship Him. Oh, praise Your name. Say so here tonight. Let the redeemed say so here tonight. You've got a right to sing. You've got a right to sing. You've been baptized into the body and the bride of Jesus Christ. You've got a right to lift up your voice. There is therefore now no condemnation. Hallelujah. Come on, clap your hands as hard as you can right now. I wish there was somebody that would dance before the Lord right now. I wish there was somebody that would dance before the Lord right now. Well, glory. Well, glory. Turn to your neighbor and say, sure feels good. Turn to your other neighbor. Say, it's going to keep on feeling good if you'll keep on worshiping. Amen. You may be seated. Oh, thank you for making us feel so welcome. I have to tell you once again, I love your pastor and his family. This man loves young preachers, and I thank God for that. I really do. I think he deserves one big hand, if you don't mind doing it for me. I love you, brother. You too. Amen. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Number two, brother, I'm going to sing one more song. The second one, if you don't mind. And then I'm going to preach. Now, all day today, took a nap today. And some of y'all didn't have time to take a nap, did you? See, I'm the evangelist. I get to do that. That's mean, isn't it? And I get to drink water during church, too. I'm teasing. All day today I prayed. I said, God, what do you want me to preach in that valley of decision? You know, sometimes He just says, here, in a week ahead of time, here, you're going to preach this. Then sometimes I've come to church with three or four messages in my Bible. You know what I'm talking about? You don't know what in the world you're going to do, Lord. Confirm it, please, tell me. Well, tonight, I said, well, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. I guess they'll just shout me out. I don't know. Put a message in my Bible while I was getting all ready. We came here and went back in the office and began to pray, prepare. And the pastor came in. We talked for a minute and he walked out. When he walked out, the Lord spoke to him. He said, I want you to preach this. I said, huh? Church is starting. You want me to preach something now? Right now you're giving it to me? The Lord said, yeah, right now. And so I've got a brand new one tonight. Best kind. That scares me to death. Well, I preach faith, but it's hard to live it sometimes, isn't it? Amen. How many are looking forward to going home? Amen. No, I don't mean now, okay? I'm sorry. Also, let me just explain to you, I have a little excuse on why I preach so long tonight. Or today. Tonight. Well, that's faith, isn't it? Is that prophetic, you think? My watch was messed up. My watch was saying that it was 11:30 or so. And I was going, man, I thought I only preached like 20 minutes. I said, man, I'm doing wonderful. And got out, and it was 1 o'clock, and it was still 11:30 on my. When we got to the restaurant, it was 1 o'clock, getting ready to leave, and it was still 11:30 on mine. So I apologize for that, but maybe that was the Lord. I don't know. Amen. Worship with me as I sing this old song. It's simply entitled, Home Where I Belong. Okay, I'll use that one. Just getting ready to do this serious, slow song. Praise God. They say that heaven's pretty.
and living here is too. But if they say that I would have to choose between the two, I'd go home. I'd go home where I belong. Sometimes when I'm dreaming, it comes as no surprise that if you look, you'll see a homesick feeling in my eyes. I'm dreaming about home. Oh, going home where I belong. But while I'm here, I'll serve Him gladly, sing Him all these songs. I'm here, but not for long. Now, when I'm feeling lonely, and when I'm feeling blue, you know it's such a joy to know that I am on. Passing through, I'm headed home. Oh, I'm headed home where I belong. Oh, there's a place that I belong. Oh, but while I'm here, I'll serve Him gladly and sing Him all these songs. I'm here. But thank God it's not for long. One day I'll be asleep when death knocks on my door, and I'll awake to find that I'm not homesick anymore. 'Cause I'll be home. I belong. Oh, I can't wait to go home.
Praise God. Amen. Why don't you stand with me and turn to the book of John, chapter 14. Now, I'm trying not to preach too long tonight. Probably couldn't if I wanted to. Only got one little index card here for notes. So, cruise right through this, all right? Thank you for letting me come back. You know, it's one thing when I got to come here in the first place because they'd really never heard me preach. I mean, they had, but it was just like real quick and I was out of here at ROG. But it's wonderful when I, you know, when people hear me preach and they know how weird I really am, and then they invite me back. Makes me feel good. Amen. John chapter 14, verse number 2. Thank you, Brother Sound Man, for helping me out. Wonderful. Monitors everything. Music's been great. I'm looking forward to Wednesday night already. Man, excited about it. John chapter 14, verse number 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Here's the key. That where I am, there ye may be also. Now, this is a brand new concept on our relationship with God. Because all other times, God has been coming to where we are. Right? Coming down to Adam and Eve, walking in the cool of the garden. Trying to minister, the Ark of the Covenant, all these things. Trying to come to where we are. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among men. Coming to where we are.
But the Scripture says there's going to be a day. And if I go to prepare a place, you can bet your bottom dollar I'm coming again. I'm going to come one more time to where you are, and I'm going to take you to where I am. And you see, what we got to understand, that's the entire purpose for us ever getting in this thing. It's for a journey to go to where He is. That's why we believe in holiness. That's why we believe in worship and praise. It's all making me more like Him. It's all getting me closer to where He is. In my Father's
house.
Say that word with me. It's very important for this message tonight. In my Father's
house.
And then He goes on to say, I go to prepare a
place.
But it's a house.
Place.
And let's read that last phrase one more time. That where I am. May be standing for just a moment. They don't take it for granted. Let's put our Bibles down, and you know what to do. Let's worship God. Let's give Him praise. Prepare our hearts right now for the Word through worship. We love You, sweet Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank You for Your Word. Praise God. Clap your hands, all you people. Oh, yes. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout praise the Lord. One more time, say, I love You, Jesus. You may be seated. Now, in the evangelistic work, we are in various churches, and we are in sometimes in hotels and sometimes in houses, so many different times. And just to be honest with you, there are times that we step into a house that's just that, a house. I don't feel comfortable there. I don't feel like I can be myself. We go to churches that way. We don't feel like we can be ourselves. Now, how many of you in your travels have ever somehow ended up in a house that wasn't home to you? Lift your hand. How many can't stand that feeling? Doesn't that just drive you crazy? You feel like you got to watch everything you're doing. You don't want to walk on their carpet. You don't want to set drinks down on their, you know. And at your house, you just plop down, man. Spill drinks everywhere. Why? Because it's your? No, it's not. It's your? There we go. You're already catching on. Now, what is the difference between a house and a home? Now, I remember when last time we were here, was Shirty. The whole time we're here, gotta go out and see my house. Wasn't even finished yet. Gotta go out and see my house. And so finally she drug us out there. No, she didn't. We finally got out there and we walked through that thing, man, and there wasn't nothing but rafters and beams. And boy, they were excited about it and everything. What was it then? It was just a house, though. But now you're there and you're moved in. And now it's feeling more like a home, isn't it? Why? Because a house is just a place. It's just shelter. It's just a building. But a home is where you feel comfortable. And a home is where you just be yourself. A home is where you can kick your feet back if you want to. Run around in your pajamas if you want to. Right? You don't have to worry about how you act. You don't have to worry about what you say. You don't have to worry about if you chew your mouth open or snore. It doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want to in your home. Why? Because what makes a house a home? Everybody say, feeling comfortable and love. My, my, my. Now, the Scripture says, and throughout the entire Scripture you'll find it, that here we find God. He's got His angels all around Him. But He just doesn't feel comfortable. He's got them there, but it's different when You got people praising you because they want to, and people praising you because they were made to. Okay? And so that's what the angels were created, to minister and to praise and worship God. And so God says, man, you know what? I know this is a house and everything, but I sure would like to find a home, a place that I feel comfortable, a place. And so He went and He created this great universe and planet. And it was a beautiful place. But it still was just a place. So He says, I'll tell you what, let me add something in here that will make me feel comfortable. And so He made man His own image, created him in the likeness of God. Adam and Eve, and He created man and woman. And finally, it seemed that God had a home. And He would come down in the cool of the evening, and He would walk in His new home. And He would spend time with His family. And He would talk to them, and He would converse with them. And they would have a good time. But there was a stranger that came one day into God's home and interrupted everything. And the fall took place. And since the fall of mankind, if you read through the entire Scripture, you're going to find one vein. And that vein is this: God trying to make a home for Himself. Amen? He tried it through the prophets. He tried it, as I said before, with the Ark of the Covenant to somehow get His presence near His people, to somehow make them realize that He loved them, to somehow feel comfortable with His people. But there was one thing that separated Him, and that was sin. He tried every way He could to try to somehow build a relationship, but it didn't work out. It was always just a house, just a tabernacle, just even the Ark of the Covenant, they disgraced it. It was just a place. That's all it was to them. God wanted more than a house. He wanted some place He could call home. Some place He could kick back and say, man, this feels good. And so I guess the way you just say it is, if you can't get a job done any other way, just do it yourself. And so that's what He did. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God says, well, if I can't do it any other way, let me just become like them. And so He made Himself flesh, and He was born of a woman. And He walked among men. But the very same chapter in John 1 that says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men also says, and He came to His own, and His own received. Says they didn't even know Him. And so here He comes from eons and eons of time away to come to such a lowly creature as you and I. And even when He makes that sacrifice, still He doesn't feel at home. Scripture says, Jesus said, hey, the birds have their nest and the foxes have their little holes. But the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay His head. Oh, sure, there were houses that would open up to Him. But you know what He was saying? I don't feel comfortable here. I don't feel comfortable that I can just be myself. But everything that I do is judged. Everything that I say is somehow scrutinized and they're trying to kill me. I don't feel comfortable here. And so, as the story goes on, Jesus died. And He is resurrected. And He ascends. And then He comes back. And that's where we jump in and say, now He's feeling at home. Because the day of Pentecost, when that Spirit of God comes back and dwelt in the hearts of man, you would think that there He would feel at home. But you and I know that we don't always make this heart a great place to live, do we? And although He loves being there, and although He loves living inside of you, let me say something. He doesn't always feel comfortable there. Come on now, somebody got to help me out. He doesn't always feel at home in John Ragsdale's spirit and in my heart, because there's times that I do things that embarrass Him. And there's times that I don't spend time with Him. And I just go about my daily thing. And so what happens is, this temple of God just becomes His house. And it's not really a home. He doesn't feel comfortable inside of me even. And God spoke to me in that office and He said, John, your goal should be to make me feel like I can kick back in your lazy boy of your heart. Just to kick back and say, man, I feel good here. There's no sin. There's no envy. There's no strife. If I could stop right here and say this to this church, that's what God would have this church to do. And that is rid ourselves of anything that would make God feel uncomfortable. You know what? It's so easy for me to dress right and to look right and to sing right and to scream right and do all those things. And yet, God still doesn't feel comfortable in my temple. Why? Because there's things on the inside that clutter. And God would ask of us here tonight that we empty ourselves of all of these things. We are not consistent. We don't consistently give Him a place where He can just kick back and say, man, this feels wonderful. And so, from the beginning of time, God has been on a search to find a place where He felt at home. And I think that it's safe for me to say, to this day, He still has not completely found. He loves living inside of you, and He loves living inside of me. But it doesn't always feel comfortable. And so the Scripture says in John 14:2, as He looked at them, and I know it's Jesus speaking because it's red letters in my Bible. And Jesus says to them, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now look at those two words. Everybody say house. In my Father's house. And then He turns right around. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. You know what's one of the most beautiful points though to me? For me as a child, I always saw God there and making all the angels work. You know, that's what I do. Gabriel, Michael, you're going to earn your keep. Go over and build a mansion. You know? But the Scripture says, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. It's a beautiful thought when you think that right now, God could be taking out a golden nail and putting the door on your mansion. Jesus Christ Himself. That's a beautiful thought. Now, I don't know if you like it or not, but I do. There are times that maybe I get discouraged. Times I don't feel like maybe I'm worthy of anything. And when you think about Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to build your mansion. I'm going to lay those streets of gold. It's me that's going to do it. I'm going to take care of that situation. And so there He is, working and building and getting it all ready. And here we are saying, man, I can't wait to go to heaven. I can't wait to go home where I belong. Man, I'm excited about getting there. How many are longing to go to heaven? Now, you said it already, but I want to hear you again. How many are really longing to go to heaven? And we get excited about it, and we sing about it. And we say, man, finally one of these days, we're going to be at a place where we can do what we want to. We're finally going to be. But the Lord spoke to me in that office right there, and He said, John, let me just let you in a little secret, and I want you to let my people in a little secret. It's not just for you, boy. You're all excited about it because you're not going to have to cry anymore. You're not going to have any more tribulation. You're not going to have any more trials. And you're saying, man, I can't wait to get to heaven because it's my reward. But the Lord spoke and said for me to tell you that heaven is as much a reward for Him as it is for you and for me. Now see, you're not catching this right now because we never saw heaven this way. Because we always saw heaven as our resting place and as our reward. But you don't understand, God has been searching for an eternity, trying to find a place that He felt at home. Trying to find a place that He could be Himself. Trying to find a place that He could just do exactly what He wanted to do. And the Scripture says He has gone away to prepare a place for you and I.
that where I am, ye may be also. Home is where the... You want to know where His heart is? It's me. It's the bride. The Lord spoke to me in that office and He said, John, let me let you in on a little secret. Heaven is just a house right now. But it won't be a home until you get here. You mean you're as excited about me getting there as I am about getting there? You're mighty right, because now it's just mansions and golden streets and pearly gates. That's all it is. But it's not going to be complete until my bride steps into my house and makes it a home. Because then and only then will I feel comfortable. The Scripture says that He inhabits the what? The praise of His people. He lives there. Now you and I know that we don't always give Him praise, do we? So He doesn't always feel comfortable in our services. But the Scripture tells me that heaven is going to be continual praise. Continually praise. All the time worshiping and glorifying God. You know what that's saying to me? That heaven right now is simply a house. But all of a sudden when the praises of His people step into that place, it's not just the praises of the angels, but it inhabits the praise of His people. When you step into heaven and when you begin to glorify God, all of a sudden God's going to say, man, I've been waiting for eons of time for this. I think I'm going to sit back and enjoy my brand new home. You're acting just like I did a while ago when I said, wait, God, I don't understand. Heaven, see, that's how we see it. Heaven's for me. No. Heaven is for you. Yeah, you're right. Heaven's for you. But that's not the main point here. Jesus made heaven for Him too. Those times that you get discouraged and those times that you get down, you know what I can see Him doing? I can see Him looking at you and saying, don't give up, child, because it's just around the corner. You're going to be here with me. And I want you here with me as much as you want to be here with me. I need you here. And yet, we sit here and we fuss and complain and we struggle and we say, man, I can't wait to get to my reward. He's the one who died. That's why I say that heaven is as much a reward for Him as it is for me. He has worked His entire lifetime, which is longer than you can ever even think of, to try to finally get to a place where He and His bride could commune without worrying about one thing. And I'm telling you right now, it's right around the corner. There's going to be a day when that trumpet sounds that all of a sudden, you know what? We're going to be excited. But the Scripture says this in 1 Thessalonians 4, I believe in 16. Then the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. You know why it's a shout? Because He's happy. Because He's coming to get His people. You want to know why He's going to feel comfortable with us then? Because we make God into something we want Him to be. We have made Him into a holy God and into a God that doesn't show emotion. But throughout the Scripture, if you'll read the Scripture talks about Jesus leaping for joy. Now you're looking at me crazy. See what I'm saying? We don't realize how excited God is really going to be when you get there. I believe that when I begin to dance around the throne, that God's going to get up and probably do a little jig with me because He's going to be happy that I'm there. God is preparing a place right now. God is putting a house together. But it's not going to be a home until John Ragsdale gets there. Until his bride gets there. Then and only then will he finally say, I've got a home now. I go to prepare a place for you. And where I am, ye may be also. It's not just about getting to heaven. It's about making it a home for Jesus Christ. But before that can ever happen, I've got to begin to make my life a home for Him. I've got to make Him feel at home in my heart. Now,
See, that sounds so plain and so elementary, but it's really not. Because we as Pentecostals have perfected the art of making the house look pretty without really making His Spirit feel at home. When I walked in those doors this morning, I told you I felt just a beautiful spirit. And I felt at home here. And I felt such a wonderful presence of God. And I felt like, man, I could just sit and I could bask in His presence. But I have to be honest with you. Tonight when I stepped in those doors, I still felt that presence. I still felt that Spirit of God. But I also felt that just that little check inside of me. How many feel that every once in a while? Just that little check where it's just not always comfortable. And the Lord spoke and He said, John, I told you a while ago. I tried to deal with it a while ago, the beginning. But the Lord said, John, there's just a few things in here that I don't feel comfortable with. I'm not trying to take your pastor's place at all. He told me to take my liberty. There's just a few things in here that I don't feel real comfortable with. And I was not in there when your pastor talked, but he walked back in the office, and we were talking some. But the Lord already spoke to my wife and I. There are marriages here right now that aren't where they need to be. There are family lives that are not where they need to be. There are spirits inside some of us that you don't want to be there, but they are, because of things that have happened to you. And you know what those things do? They make God feel uncomfortable. And if God is building a house and we're going to make it a home, how in the world do we think that these things in our heart right now are going to be allowed over there? God right now is preparing us to become that bride. God is preparing us to become exactly what He wants us to be. He's forming and He's molding us so that when we get over there, it's just comfortable to be at home. Not just a house, but a place that He can be and do exactly what He wants to do. But God's got to do it in your heart right now. He's got to do it in my heart right now. I want you to close your eyes. Now, I know you've been in revival. I realize that. But we're starting a series of services right now. And we're stepping out on faith and we're making a sacrifice coming here every night. And we're saying, God, we want to see something happen. At the very beginning of this revival, I want you to be honest. Are there things in your heart that would make God feel uncomfortable? I want you to lift your hand. You're not doing this so we can see. You're doing it so God can see it right now. You're lifting up your hand. In an act of surrender, you're saying, God, I acknowledge that right now. Come on, lift your hand. I want you to put them down. There's something special about this church. And I know you know that. And I felt it since I came here the first time. God is preparing this church. This church is on the cutting edge of things that are going to happen. God is getting ready to do mighty things. And He's already doing it, but to do mighty things in this church, things you never even thought could happen. He's preparing you as a bride. You're going to be different from all the other churches because you're on the cutting edge. You're the very first to go in and begin to delve in some of the things you're going into. And because of that, when you're chosen, you can't act like everybody else. You can't get by with some of the things that some of the other congregations can do. Because you've been set aside. I say it in the Holy Ghost. This is a church that is going to be set apart. This is a church that is going to lead this movement into end time revival. This is going to be one of the churches. And to do that, you're going to have to lay down some things that have been there. Now look at me. I tell young men when I go to different places, if you'll come to the music. I know I've shot over the tree, and I know you don't know where I am, and I probably don't either. I'm just moving in the Holy Ghost. When I meet young men or young ladies as I go around to revivals, and I feel the calling of God on their life, so many times I'll take them aside, and I'll say this to them,
You've got a special touch of God on your life. And that's not an easy thing. Because with a special touch comes special responsibility. Because there are things that you've got to do that everybody else doesn't have to do. And there are things that you can't do that everybody else can do. Some of you wonder, man, why pray so much? Why do this? Why early morning prayer? Why all this stuff? You know why? All the other churches don't do all that. You see what I'm saying? You're set aside. And God has given your pastor an insight in this. And he's stepping out. But God is wanting this church right now to step out with him and to say, okay, God, I want you to feel at home. I want you to know that you can do exactly what you need to do here, whatever you want to do here. But to do that requires you and me to lay down some things that aren't necessarily maybe even wrong, or things that pastor doesn't even have to preach about it. But all of a sudden we begin to lay down these things. With a special touch of God comes a special responsibility. With that special responsibility, there comes a special attack of the devil upon your life. Because the devil knows if you've got a special touch, you've got to have responsibility. And so he's going to attack you like never before. And as these miracles have begun to take place, how many of you have had an attack on your life like never before? Lift your hand. Come on. You felt it in your mind, in your heart. It's been on you bad. Why? That special attack. But those of you with a special call, this church, that steps out and takes on that special responsibility that everybody else doesn't have to have, and you live through that attack of the devil, there is a special anointing and power that's going to come upon your life that you've never seen before. And I say this in the Holy Ghost. I know I've totally gotten off my message right now, but really I haven't, because God is preparing us to make Him feel at home. Because before we can ever make Him feel at home over there, we've got to make Him feel that He can come in and do exactly what He needs to do. That He can step into our services, and that this man of God can look some of you in the eye and say, you need to get rid of this in your life. And you won't even bat an eye. You won't even fuss and complain. You'll just say, if it makes God feel comfortable, then so be it. How many of you really want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Now, I'm not talking about just the, hello, Jesus, I love you, relationship. I'm talking about this kind of relationship. The kind of relationship that I can just be myself. I can do just what I want to. The relationship of a husband and a wife, of a bride and a groom. My wife said it like this before. Some of you have relationships with people that's just surface, don't you? But there's something about that relationship with that person, whether it's your husband or wife or your best friend, that you can just do or say anything you want to do. Isn't that wonderful? My wife says it like this. We believe we were best friends before we married. And she says, when you marry your best friend, life is just one big slumber party. And that's what it is. Why? Because I can do anything I want to do. I can say anything I want to say. And you know what God's wanting to do? He's wanting to be able to step into your life and say, hey, I don't like what you're doing. And you know what you say? Okay, I'll get rid of it. He wants to have such a relationship with you that's not just a, hi, love you because I died for you. He wants it to go more than that. He wants to be able to step into your life and say, hey, I want you to do this special thing for me. Well, Lord, they're not doing it. See, when it's that friendship, you don't even ask questions. You just say, okay. But you know what's so beautiful about that? You can do the same thing with Him. You can just step right up in the throne room of God and say, God, I need you to do this for me, okay? And when that relationship is so close, He just does it. God's feeling at home in somebody's heart right now. There's somebody right now that is realizing that this place inside of you is more than just a dwelling place for Jesus Christ. But it's a place that is supposed to make Him feel comfortable. A place that He can just kick back and say, man, I finally feel at home. Again, I want you to close your eyes as they begin to play silently. Let's wait on Him just a moment. Let Him talk to you. Individually to hearts right now. There's some of you saints that have been here for years and years and years that right now God is talking to you about things that He wants you to do. There's some of you elderly saints, some of you that have been here for years and years and years, that you feel like your time of really doing anything for God is kind of over. God's giving you a renewed hope right now. God's going to place callings and ministries upon lives tonight because you're making them feel comfortable. As they begin to sing, I want us to stand to our feet. I have to be honest with you, usually, and I'm honest, how many believe that? Usually I'd go home after a message like tonight and I'd let the devil beat me to death. If I didn't have anything together, I just got up here and flew by the seat of my pants. But I feel the ministry of the Holy Ghost in this place. It's what it's all about. I'm not worried about anything else. I want you right now to open up your hearts to Him.
We dedicate this temple to You.
Oh, yes, we do, Jesus.
We dedicate this temple to You.
Some of you in this place now, this church is visited by God. And God does feel comfortable here. And He feels comfortable when you pray and the sacrifices that go on. I don't believe I've ever been in a more praying church. But let me say this, no one talking, please listen to me right now. But there are some of you that feel like you can just coast along with everybody else. You'll let everybody else pray, you'll let everybody else fast. And you'll just come in and enjoy the benefits of it all. You see, if God's going to feel totally comfortable here, everybody's got to get in this thing. There's got to be brand new commitments made tonight. There's got to be things that you've got to give God that you've never given Him before. And as they begin to sing tonight, I want those of you that are really ready to give God whatever it is in your heart. And you really want to make Him feel at home. And some of you tonight that know that you're not really doing what you need to do. You're just kind of coasting along. I want you to step out where you are and come up here. Come on, let's find a place to pray tonight. Thank you, Jesus.
Use it for Your service.
Thank you, Jesus.
For a yes. Holy purpose,
yes.
We dedicate this temple
to
You, Lord. We dedicate this temple to
You. Those of you that have never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, let me let you in a little secret. If you'll open up your heart, God will come in. Make a home for Him here tonight. Allow God to fill you with His presence.
For a holy purpose, we dedicate this temple to You, Lord. We dedicate.
Singing this time
from the Father above.
you have felt tonight, for what He has done for you. Lord, we love You tonight. We praise Your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Show us the way, Lord, and we will follow. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I've been praying a hard prayer the last week or so of my life. I've been praying, Lord, all I want to be is a servant. I want to have the heart of a servant. I want to have the attitude of a servant. I just want to be a servant. I tell you what, that is a prayer that it may be easy to pray, but it really, there's a step beyond just praying it. There's a step in allowing God to really perform that in our life. Lord, I want to be a servant to this world. Be a servant to the kingdom of God. Isn't the Lord wonderful? Shake hands with one another. Tell each other how much you love each other. Amen. And the Lord bless you, and you're dismissed. Be here Wednesday night for church. Amen.